Where is the body when the body needs help? In this teaching, Holy Spirit wants to reveal the self-centeredness of the body of Christ, the devastating and destructive result of that self-centeredness that the entire body is affected by. Most of us would be very familiar with James' statement about faith without works is dead, but let's just read it in context. In James 2:14, he says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works.' Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" And if we have faith in Jesus Christ, it means he lives in our hearts. If he lives in our hearts, we want to do his work. It's not about earning salvation. It's about honoring the Savior. So often in modern-day Christianity, when those in the Brethren are in it, whether it's a difficult situation personally, whether it's of a nature in business, whether it's in with a situation with children or another family member or financial distress or a marital breakdown, it seems that the body runs and hides. Those that are seeking the help that are in the body, who may be in desperate need and are the brethren, are either referred to different agencies or separate help or external means. The body itself doesn't want to get its hands dirty. And yet, what does he say pure religion is? In James 1:27, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." How do we keep ourselves unspotted from the world? It's not just staying away from things that are tempting or activities that we know are unrighteous. Being unspotted from the world is acting as Christ would act with those that are the least, whether it is your brethren or someone who doesn't believe. It seems that the body is happy to justify its actions by comments such as, "Well, God always provides." God has also provided us to each other. But if we ignore that provision and are disobedient to what he is asking, what happens to his provision? And then, who is always to blame? Well, God didn't come through, or your faith wasn't good enough, when in fact the person's disobedience was the issue. If the body doesn't wake up and realize that acting like the world dishonors not only the Savior, but the very body which they are a part and member of, they will find themselves in far greater difficulties when times come that are going to be harder than we ever imagined. And even more important than that, this is not just a time of skilling up, training, enabling, equipping. This is a time of having our hearts broken for him, so we can care more for others than for ourselves. But if the body is more interested in its own comfort, or its own agenda, or its own justification, it will miss the deepest lessons that the Holy Spirit is now pouring forth. In this area of where is the body when the body needs help, We can look at 2 Corinthians 8. And in this chapter, Paul is addressing the Corinthians, discussing the issue of giving, but he makes it very clear where the giving is to come from and how the giving is to be measured out, in what context. He says this, first of all, 2 Corinthians 8:9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich." Now, there are many in some circles of the body that use this as a blatant deed and right for prosperity, and that is not what it means. He gave all of glory up to be with us here on earth, to redeem us to life eternal. That is the riches that he's given us. Now, later down in that chapter, in verse 13, he says, "For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened." He is not talking about taking food out of your own children's mouth to feed someone else's child. But as this is what he means. "But by an equality, that now at this time, your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality." Isn't that the beauty of Christ? We help those when we have more. And when they have more and we are in lack, they help us. But that is not how it happens in the body. The body is as selfish as middle-class people in the world. This is my four walls. This is my house, my garden, my car, my day, my money. In Acts, when someone didn't have enough, those that had abundance sold what they had so that those that had less or not at all would not be in lack. That's how we are meant to be, body of Christ. That's how we're meant to be, true bride. But because people are so possessive and covet their own possessions, they are unwilling to share what he's given and blessed them with. And that is a shame upon the body of Christ. And Paul continues in 2 Corinthians 9. He says this, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." The sad part about that is people do not give cheerfully. And this is not talking about tithing or any of that. This is talking about giving where it is needed, to whom it is needed, without resentment, without justification, without self-righteousness, without slapping a scripture on someone's painful and desperate situation, or telling them that this will build character. When they are homeless and hurting and have been abused. That is the epitome of detachment and a lack, a serious and severe lack of compassion. We have to remember everything we have that is good comes from him. And if it comes from him, it's not ours to keep. It's ours to share where we can, in the sense of, we're not going to be starving ourselves so that someone else can eat. Out of our abundance, he gives us an abundance of blessings. But if we're too selfish to share them, those in the body that are needing that help will not receive it, and the entire body will suffer. The body of Christ does not believe that scripture, that if one in the body suffers, we all suffer. That is not even real for them. If I'm not suffering, everything must be good in the body. That's the attitude that most Christians have in middle-class white Christianity. And it also means that the body doesn't believe this in 2 Corinthians 9:8. "And God is able," he says this right after he speaks to them about being a cheerful giver and giving what you purpose in your own heart, not grudgingly. He says this, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." That's the promise of God. He's able to make all grace abound towards us. So why is it that we want to hold back what we have when another in the body is in need? It means we don't believe God will supply our need. But he says in verse 10, "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." That is the gift. That is the blessing of our giving. And he was talking specifically to the Corinthians about their giving to the Macedonians. And it had been a promise of a gift. And he had to re-establish that in the hearts and minds of the Corinthians. And this is what he said. "Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready." Ready to give, he's speaking of. "Lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting." He's saying, if you aren't going to give when you said you were going to give, we're all going to be ashamed. Because let our yes be yes and our no be no. And if we don't do that, it doesn't mean we can't repent and be willing to do what we said. It means that if we are saying that someone in the body, whether it is an individual, whether it is a group, whether it is a family, whether it is a church, if we offer to them what they need, we must carry it through and fulfill it. Because we're dishonoring God if we don't. And it is no wonder that the persecuted church, of all the body, the most suffering, the most desperate, the most difficult situations are endured by the persecuted church. They are ignored for the most part by the body of Christ. While people are busy doing what they feel is safe, what they feel gives them pats on the backs, what they feel is acceptable, what they feel others will approve of, what doesn't stretch them too far, just far enough. But never to engage with what is more than comfortable. The greatest tragedy of this is that the body was made to be for him and was made to be imitators of him, Christ Jesus. And more often than not, we see lip service to that. If someone lands on our doorstep in desperate need, not someone who's going to endanger us, we're talking about someone who has an authentic need, and we turn them away with maybe a cup of tea or coffee and a cookie or biscuit, as they say in Australia, be on your way, we'll say a prayer. We're doing exactly what James said. And our faith then is dead. We can confess as many scriptures as we like. We can be on the leadership teams. We can be elders, pastoral cares, whatever our title. But if we, when confronted with real need, do not address it as Jesus requires of us to do, we have a dead faith and we need to repent. It isn't enough to say, well, God promises to supply all your need. Don't forget that. When he's also supplied us with each other, which are to help supply that need. He's not going to drop dollar bills from heaven. He's going to place on someone's heart an aching for another member of the body. And they might not even know that that member of the body is suffering, but Holy Spirit is speaking to them and their heart is tender and listening and doesn't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. So they pray, they seek what he is asking. And they ask the person that Holy Spirit is then communicating. This one in the body is suffering, is in strife, is in trouble. We don't ignore it and say, well, don't forget that God will supply all your needs. If our hearts are that hardened, what use are we? Perhaps we're just pretending, or we have the mask of Christianity. But if when someone is there in the flesh, and we're not talking in the flesh, that in flesh as opposed to the spirit, we're talking physically there in someone's home or in someone's life, and they are thoroughly ignored other than a pat on the back, a little prayer, and off you go, God will supply your need. That is a dead faith walking. No matter how many good deeds they may do, or the church may think they do, or they're the pillars of the community, the truth is they are not honoring God. Desperation, anyone who is in a desperate situation, and desperation itself, requires a honest response, a vital response, a loving response. And Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 9:12 that the blessing that we receive from this, it says, for the administration of this service, meaning what the Corinthians had promised to give, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And that is the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of his grace. So we don't only, it's not only to edify and strengthen and equip and provide for the saints, but it also brings thanksgiving to God. It honors God. People think, oh, if I have to give to this person in the body and they're struggling and maybe they struggle a lot and, oh, this is getting too much, so I don't want to do this anymore. And we're not talking in any way endangering ourselves. We're talking in a way where we have an abundance where they have a lack. But we don't want to do it any longer. We've had enough. We've decided that was our limit point. And yet if we give when he's telling us to give, God is glorified. And the body is strengthened as a whole. When will the body of Christ learn that it is a body? It is not an individual. It is not a small group. It is not a church, a singular church. It is the body of Christ Almighty. And it doesn't belong to itself. Selfishness in the body will bring a meager and minuscule return of reaping. You can only reap a little where you sow a little. And we are not just talking about finances, though sometimes that is what's required. Often it's what's required. And it's the least given. We are so possessive with our money. We hold on to it more than we hold on to prayer. We hold on to it more than we hold on to praise. We hold on to it more than we hold on to faith. And that's a shocking statement, but it is true. And we, as a body, need to repent from that and stand in trust of the one who made us and give in the manner that he desires us to whom he requests us to. Not deciding for ourselves, oh, well, I like this one, so I'll give, and I don't like that one, so I won't. It's becoming less and less and less like a body. Those who call themselves Christians and profess it and do what Christians are supposed to do in terms of the activities, whether it's church or read our Bibles or whatever other activities we think are necessary. But when confronted with need and hurt and desperation, react with hardness and suspicion and anger and frustration, and most importantly, with indifference. When we react like that, we have said to the Savior, your work was not enough. It doesn't matter what you gave. My heart is more important to me to keep it the way I want to keep it than to allow you to turn it into a brilliant image of Christ. So the Holy Spirit is saying, enough with pretense, enough with looking good, enough with wanting to control others by using scripture or activities or comments. Enough. Be who He is asking you to be. Give what He is asking you to give. Share what He is asking you to share. For the body is not one member, but many members, and yet one. We are not separate. We are one. We have to stop the illusion that we can be independent of one another. And in that independence, not harm one another. It's very harmful for us to have that kind of independence because it is a lie. And it is something Satan wants us to do. If he can convince us that giving to someone who's really desperate is a bad thing because, you know, they've gotten into this mess again, or maybe they've been haven't been in it before, but, you know, they shouldn't have made those decisions, rather than helping them, rather than having compassion as Jesus would have, rather than giving as the Holy Spirit leads. We need to examine ourselves, as he says, to see if we are in the faith. And how do we know if we are in the faith? If he, the Son of God, lives in us, and if he lives in us, we will produce the fruit of the Spirit. Not by our own generation, but by allowing the Holy Spirit to live through us and in us. And we will be imitators of Christ in all that we do. Our works should reflect our faith. We don't need works to prove our faith. It is because of our faith that we want to do his works. So the body needs to stop being a missing person and to be willing to attend the cry of the other members when they are calling out. And to stop seeking self, even if it's the kind of self of, look at how many committees I'm on, look at what I do for the body, look at what I do for the church. No! He will challenge you when you do that, because he always challenges pride. He resists it. And he will give you a situation where someone literally will land on your doorstep that you don't want to deal with, and he will test you to see how you're going to interact with that person. Is your heart going to soften? Will you be compassionate? Or will you choose to close the door? He is a God of wonder, and he wants us to be filled with that wonder, but we cannot if we have our own agenda. So, body of Christ, and I include myself, be willing to give of yourself, even when it is completely uncomfortable. Always led by the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about making up our own way. Always led by him. But be willing to be stretched so that you can contain more of Him and then pour out more of your Savior. For to be a Christian means Christ lives in you. And that is the glory of the gospel.